third Sunday in Advent. Our lectionary gives us the choice of hearing the Song of Mary, often called the Magnificat, in the place normally occupied by the psalm. This brings Mary's own explanation of what she has been asked to do by God, a story we will hear next Sunday morning, so come back at 10 a.m. Mary's explanation of what she has been asked to do, of what the child she is carrying means to the world, directly into conversation with the prophet Isaiah. And this seems very appropriate to me. I have a pet theory that Isaiah was Mary's favorite book, which is how Jesus ends up drawing on it so heavily in his own ministry. Indeed, if we fast forward 30 years or so from the moment of Mary's proclamation, we find Jesus sitting down in the synagogue, unrolling the scroll, and claiming as his own the very verses from Isaiah that we just heard. The Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the oppressed and bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. I imagine Jesus as a child hearing these words from his mother's lips, learning hope and faithfulness and courage from the woman who was chosen by God to give him flesh and bring him into the world and guide him through childhood until he was ready to take up his public ministry as God's anointed one. And then to stand at the foot of the cross and watch as her son gave himself to the world too. Now, of course, on that particular morning as Mary sang, she did not know all that was to come, not exactly. But she knew the story into which she was being called, because it was the same story her ancestors were called into. And it is the same story we are called into today. It is the ongoing story of God's work on behalf of God's people, the work God has done and is doing and will continue to do. And it was no harder to believe that then than it is now, in a world filled with hungry people who stay that way night after night, and powerful people who continue to abuse their power with impunity, in a world where might is so often mistaken for security and righteousness, and where loneliness makes us too uncomfortable to confront it. For all the work God has done and is doing and will do, it seems that the world just hasn't changed very much. Which is why we continue to listen to the prophets, to Isaiah, and to Mary, and to John the Baptist, which is why we are called to be prophets too, entering into the story of God in our own time and our own place. But let's begin with Isaiah. The passage that we heard today, and that so powerfully shaped Jesus' own ministry, comes from the last chapters of that book, which were written in the years after Israel has returned from exile in Babylon and is trying to rebuild. It is not an easy thing, rebuilding. The people are struggling with discouragement, struggling to understand who they are and who they are trying to become. They are fearful. They are tired. They are defensive. But the prophet seeks to remind them that they are God's people, called to righteousness, called to be a sign to the world of God's reign of justice and mercy. It makes sense that the people would need to be reminded. The exile lasted over 50 years, over 70 years by some counts. So most of the people returning home would have no memory of this place, and no sense of identity not shaped by being a people conquered and displaced. And the home they were returning to was not unchanged either. Old cities in ruins, new inhabitants in place, new ways of life to establish. Rebuilding is difficult work, but it is hopeful work too. It is an opportunity to create something good and beautiful, an opportunity to finally be the nation God desires. And so the prophet reminds them of who they are to be, a nation of joy and freedom and justice, a nation that reveals the liberating, saving power of God, because it has time and time again been liberated by that same God. Saved from famine and slavery and exile, from idolatry and wandering, from barrenness and hopelessness. Because time and time again, God has cast down the mighty and lifted up the lowly, attended to the needs of the hungry, and sent the rich away empty. And so Isaiah's people rebuilt their cities. But people being what they are, they also rebuilt structures of inequality and injustice and oppression. We know this is so because we have the eloquent witness of the prophets who came after Isaiah, bringing God's word of reproach and God's call to a better way. We also know that those cities would once again fall to occupying forces, and that one day, a young woman carrying the Son of the Most High in her body would join with the prophets who went before her and proclaim that God's mercy and power hold sway even under occupation. God has cast down the mighty and lifted up the lowly. God does cast down the mighty and lift up the lowly. God will cast down the mighty and lift up the lowly. These are declarations of faith, and they are powerful. They have sustained people in moments of crisis and over generations of struggle. But declarations of faith are not intended purely for comfort or sustenance. They are intended to shape lives, to direct attention and action in accordance with that faith. If this is what God does, if this is what Jesus does, then this is what we are to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because the Lord has sent us to announce good news to the oppressed and bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives, whoever they are, wherever they are. And if that seems out of reach from our comfortable but perhaps limited lives, it's not. It can't be, for God has given us the work to do. And by now you all know the litany. Donate your time and your money in support of the work. Write the politicians. Speak up against ignorance and bigotry. Gladly bear the costs of making the world better for people who are more vulnerable. Make every choice. Weigh every decision. Draw every conclusion in the light of what we have been sent to do. Look for the lowly and stand with them against the mighty. Even if that stand is expressed only by how you think and what you say as you move through your day. How you think and what you say can matter a great deal. It can change your life. It can change someone else's life. It can even change a community's life. This is the work of Advent, drawing us ever deeper into what God has done and is doing and will do, preparing us for the final triumph of God's reign of righteousness and peace, even as we work to rebuild the world time and time and time again. Mary's song is on our lips. Mary's son is in our hearts. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon us. Come, Lord Jesus, come.